T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Another edition of Second Down Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with my co-host, Bo Matthews.
How you doing, Tony?
Great to see you, my friend.
Yeah, you too, man.
And our producer, Chad Ellis, as well.
Hello, hello.
What's happening, guys?
Not much. How's it going?
You know, another week gone by. The weather wasn't so bad this week. I keep feeling like we're getting away with decent weather in the winter. We had some rain, but like earlier in the week especially, it was fairly sunny and
warm,
kind of warm.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, the warm's going to stick.
I keep waiting
for
the receipt. You know what I mean? Like, I keep waiting for the payback.
It is the middle of January. You're getting close to it. But the rain, I mean, up to 4 inches I'm hearing by the end of all of this. So, then I know in Eureka, they're already talking about sandbagging. I was talking to Police Chief Wigan out there, and not from The Simpsons, not Wigum. Has he been on the show, actually?
Uh-uh. Oh. No, I don't believe so.
He said he's been in with Tim Jones.
Okay.
He said he'd come down anytime. But
we should do that.
What a good guy, over 40 years in the Eureka Police Department.
That's great.
And chief for over 30, so good
dude. That's Eureka. That's Speaker Jones is part of town.
That's his territory. Yeah. So he was worried that he'd be sandbagging this weekend in Eureka.
Oh, wow.
But the chief does it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonder if it would be, if it was below freezing right now, like how much of that would, how much snow would be looking
wow.
at?
Wow. Feet.
Yeah,
feet.
No kidding.
What, an inch of rain is a foot of snow, right?
Is that right?
I think it is, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Look it up, Chad.
All right. Chad's on it. Well, thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Don't forget that you can download our podcast absolutely free. The radio.com app is one of many and probably the best way to get our podcast. Once you download the radio.com app, favorite this radio station, and then you'll have one-stop shopping with everything. You'll be able to stream the station 24/7. You'll be able to download all the podcasts. You'll be able to take advantage of the Radio Rewind feature. All of that on the radio.com app, and all of it is free. So make sure you are checking that out. We get a lot of podcast downloads on this show, which is really, really cool. And we appreciate everyone who is doing that. And if you like the show and you only hear these interviews one time on the air and you want to go back and listen to them again because they're chock full of such great entertainment and information, the best way to do so is with the podcast.
And if your phone is already paired to your vehicle, you don't even have to turn on radio on. You can just through your phone if it's already paired. And I'm on a learning curve. So, but the radio.com app is so easy to manipulate and go through and move around. It really is. They've done a great job with it.
And you can subscribe to the shows that you like specifically and just pop in.
Yeah, because I don't want to hear anybody else. I just want to hear the dog.
Yeah, Second Amendment Radio. That's all you need.
And it does look like 1 inch of rain is 10 inches of snow.
Oh, 10 inches. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So, I mean, 2 inches.
Over exaggerating. You know, that's what we
close.
Do.
It's
you round
close.
Up, you don't round down.
Yeah, you're dang right.
That is amazing. I did not know that. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, imagine if this was like normal January temperatures. Be a lot of
serious.
Snow out there.
We wouldn't be here.
All right. We need to start the show like we always do with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. I have a whole lot to talk to Aaron about, and it's always great to do that. Aaron, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I cannot complain. Another week has gone by, and another year has started, and we are now officially in the legislative session here in the state of Missouri, and as you know, being a part of this show since we started, that the legislative session is when we got a lot of news to talk about, and there's always Second Amendment bills, and, you know, on both sides, there's always Democrats filing bills to limit gun rights and Republicans filing bills to either expand them or protect them. And it looks like this year is going to go down that path again. There are a couple things that I want to get your opinion on here. There's a lot, so I want to kind of go rapid fire with you through this segment and try to get to as many of these stories as we can. First of all, let's start on the bad side of things. Let's start on the limiting side of things. Representative Lakeisha Bosley, State Rep. Lakeisha Bosley, who represents one of the districts here in the city of St. Louis, says that this year she is focused on public safety, and because of that, she's pushing laws concerning firearm ammunition. She wants to limit the amount of ammo a person can purchase, and she wants to track those purchases. Aaron, you guys sell a lot of ammunition, so this would affect you directly. Why would this bill be a good or bad idea?
So it's unfunded, for starters. So there's no system in place now to currently track ammunition purchases. So the state of Missouri, with their infinite amount of money, right, because we totally have legalized marijuana here and generated $11 million in revenue, we could just create a system overnight and implement this then expect there to be no bugs, et cetera, and then get 100% dealer compliance. What would happen is dealers would just say, it's too big of a hassle, I'm just not going to sell ammunition. That's if they could even implement a system that would be able to track these things. Secondly, these individuals that are committing crimes would just have their girlfriends or their friends with clean criminal records go buy the ammunition, which they already have them attempt to go buy the firearms for them. It's called a straw purchase. We already have laws against it, yet these criminals still manage to get somehow firearms. You create an instant black market for firearm ammunition. And then the other thing you would do is you would just get guys like me who would just say, well, that's just more reason to reload.
Right.
So instead of just reloading the limited amounts of ammunition that I do, mostly the really, really expensive stuff like the 44 Magnum, I would start reloading, 9mm and 40 and 45. And I mean, I'm a ammosexual, so I shoot really anything that goes bang.
Ammosexual? I've never heard that in my life. That's awesome. Yeah. Now let me just say, this seems like a crazy law that they're trying to get passed. But if you think down the road with electric cars coming on, you could almost compare it to that, because to force us to electric vehicles, they could just outlaw, or they would have to track all fuel purchases, like gasoline or diesel.
Yeah, that's how silly this is.
It is that silly.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
And Aaron, I do 95% of my shooting on my friend's farm, where we are either target shooting or skeet shooting. And when we pick a Saturday or Sunday to go and do that, we go through a ton of ammunition. So if I'm going in and I'm buying several boxes, now all of a sudden I'm being flagged as some kind of, a person who's putting together, like an armory or something, because no pun intended, because I bought a bunch of boxes of ammo, a bunch of boxes of bullets, but I'm going to use all those in one day, essentially. I mean, you shoot for a few hours with your buddies at the farm and you're going through quite a few. So, I mean, really, how much safer does it make anybody? What problem are we solving by limiting ammo purchases?
We're not going to solve anything. We're just creating a paperwork disaster, another unfunded mandate, right? Because they're going to have to report this. So either we'll just write everybody's name down on a piece of paper with what caliber they bought and a driver's license number, and then we'll just send it in to them. And then whenever they feel it necessary, they'll sort through it. The other option is a computer program, but again, it creates money to develop these things, and they just don't have the money, and it's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it too much. The other thing too is we've seen this in the past on a federal level, and we've seen this with other states where they were going to try to limit the amount of ammunition you were going to have. And if you go back to the old episodes, you know, I sit there, I was like, well, I shoot, you know, this caliber. And then it basically came down to I could have 30 rounds of each caliber on hand at any given time, and they come in boxes of 50. Right. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't work. You know, some states limit the amount of alcohol you can purchase. Every time you go purchase alcohol, they scan your ID. I think it was in Ohio when I saw that. And I thought it was very weird.
Or in New York, like, yeah, they limit how much soda you can buy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no big gulps.
Yeah. Right. So I want to switch to another one that's at least in my opinion easier to support, and that is our buddy State Rep Nick Schroer has been on this show many times. He actually announced on the Weekend Report, another show that I host, last week, that he is rolling out this school safety bill. Now, this is going to probably be one of the biggest, at least early in the session, one of the biggest bills that is discussed. And the school safety bill would put an armed resource officer in every school in the state of Missouri, not just the high schools, which we had an armed resource officer at Hazelwood Central 25 years ago when I was there. So that, I don't think for some of these schools, that's nothing new. But in middle schools and elementary schools, it certainly is. And this wasn't just like something that he cooked up. This was on the heels of recommendations from a task force that studied how to make schools safer. And the number one thing was to put an armed resource officer in each school. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that and whether or not that's something that you think is a good idea or a bad idea.
So, you know, great idea, you know, putting a good guy with a gun in a school. It's a good community outreach, especially times right now where there's a division in some communities with law enforcement. It's going to humanize the badge. The downside of this is who's going to pay for it, right? You have some of these school districts that are in St. Louis County that are huge, like Melville School District, and they're going to tie up, you know, just in Oakville where I live, you know, I could just be like, well, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, there's probably like 8 or 9 schools that are going to require a school resource officer that are not high schools that are in the 4th precinct. So now all of a sudden St. Louis County is going to have to hire in 8 or 9 more officers or move resources into those schools. So that's less officers out on road patrol rotating through, et cetera, where the county is already having issues with car break-ins, et cetera. So if they're going to fund it and we're going to hire those additional officers, that's great. If we're going to not hire or we're not going to fund it and we're just going to have resources redistributed, you know, that's not good. You know, maybe we need to look into the junior highs. We don't really hear too much about elementary schools, but generally it's the you know, 7th, 8th grade and up. Generally always the high schools is what I hear.
Well, and I don't know if every school is like this, but I believe there's only usually one door to the office or near the office that is open. Every other door is locked down, right? So if you have a safety professional, a police officer doing second shift kind of thing, wouldn't they be a good candidate to have that, you know, secondary income? And they could also be right there in the office area in case they needed to get to any other part of the school. But I believe all doors are locked around schools.
Yeah, so I don't spend too much time around elementary schools nowadays.
You will soon.
Pipers too.
Won't be long.
I do help out with the robotics team with the local high school that I graduated from every once in a while. And I have noticed that I normally just go right to the door the robotics teams use and somebody just lets me in. But that would be the most common sense thing would be to restrict access to all the doors except for one door to let people in and out. But, you know, the right tools, you can get through any door. That's the one thing being and fire service has taught me. So doors are, you know, and you got windows, right? Every window is an entrance.
And I just think the fact that bad guys would know that in every school there's a trained armed officer in there, it's gonna be a whole lot more difficult for a person to make that decision to go into a school. Whereas right now they know for the most part that's they're not going to encounter a good guy with a gun.
I'd go a step further. If we train our teachers CPR and things like that, you know, Heimlich maneuver stuff, why not have teachers that are proficient and have them armed?
Yeah.
I mean, to have more.
I totally agree.
My son's principal was an ex-Army Ranger for 10 years. Yeah. I'd be okay with him packing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Aaron, before we run out of time, I want to give you a chance to talk about Southern Armory. What is happening at the store as we are rolling into 2020?
Right. So we have $85 CCW classes going on the rest of the month of January. So it'd be a good time to come in and grab up either a CCW class and get it scheduled, or get it as a gift certificate and use it in the next year, so that you can use it any time in 2020, right through 1 year from when you bought it. So you'd be looking at January 2021. Other than that, ammunition is flowing. We've been stocking up on some of the more unusual calibers. You know, we already had like your 357 SIG and your 9mm Makarov, but we've been going ahead and looking into expanding that ammunition selection even more with the recent uptick in ammunition, especially specifically handgun ammunition purchases due to some recent decisions from a retailer. So if you need ammunition, come in and see us. Doesn't matter if it's a rifle or a handgun. We carry it, and special orders are always welcome. We get case discounts. So if you buy in bulk, that's a good way to save. Mm-hmm. We always have firearms on hand for you to peruse. We are a Blue Label dealer. We do buy direct from SIG. So if you need a SIG Sauer firearm, you can't find it anywhere, let us know. We can track it down and order it right in from the factory for you. You can follow us on the Facebook, on Southern Armory's Facebook page or Second Amendment Radio. We do some updates and some cleanings and site installs and just some general maintenance stuff. Got a few projects lined up for this coming week. So if you've never lapped rings before, never just done some odds and end things, it would be a good time to tune in and just kind of learn just some more of the odd stuff. This week we're going to be doing than the typical stuff that you've seen us do in the past. You can always come in and chat with us about your needs. Firearms Training Simulator has been getting used a lot too, which has been great. I love when people come in and use that, get those realistic situations and decision-making processes that they need to know when they're concealed carrying. But come in and see us. We're located 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road, and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
You don't need to point at me, young man. I know when it's my turn to go. Chad pointed at me like, hey, you go first and then I'll go. Like I'm new to this game. Aaron, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, thank you so much for your time, and we will, of course, talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, have a great week. We need to take a quick break. When we get back, that other voice that you heard moments ago here in the studio is our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. He is going to be in studio with us for the rest of the show, so stick around. You are listening.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. Podcast. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Bo Matthews and producer Chad Ellis. And as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us for the rest of the show in studios, our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman, even though he doesn't like me to call him a professional fisherman.
I had to leave my job to get here, so I was truly a professional. I'd have left my boat, Tony.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm good with it. Well, you're more of a professional fisherman than anybody else in the room.
I fish amongst professionals. That's what I always say. I still have a job, and most of them don't.
Yeah, so we were just talking at the very beginning of the show about now there's a lot of rain that we've been experiencing for the last couple of days. But before that, we've been actually having a pretty mild,
very mild
winter. Sunny skies and decently warm weather. How is that affecting your fishing, and is it still something that is going on?
The fishing's still outstanding, both at Lake of the Ozarks and Table Rock. Fishing's, you know, me and you have had this conversation 100 times. It's until the water gets hard.
Yeah.
Fish are still going to bite. It's just you've got to come up with a strategy. And, you know, for people that don't know, the sun hits the north banks more through the winter, just the way the sun goes across the horizon. So that's your starting point. Look at the north side of stuff. And then you start looking for dark rock, because dark rock holds the heat. Then you start looking at which way the wind's direction. You want the mix of those three things. And then the fourth element would be deep water close to shallow water. And then you want to start looking. Now, I told you last time I was in, I think, or maybe it was on the New Year's Eve show. I don't remember. But a friend of mine that will remain nameless, because he probably doesn't want people knowing how he was catching them. But he bounced around at Lake of the Ozarks for 4 hours, never had a bite. You know, never had a bite. Bounced all over the Little Niangua, the Big Niangua, way up by the, I'm going to forget the name of the spring way up there. Ha-ha Tonka.
Oh, yeah.
Finally stopped on a point on the way back because it looked right. It was on the north side. Wind was blowing, you know, right kind of rock.
God, I have fished many times right at the mouth of that spring at Ha Ha Tonka.
It's a popular spot in the winter for sure.
That's amazing, yeah.
Well, he made a couple casts with an Alabama rig, 4-pounder, 3-pounder. Long story short, his best five were a little over 27, almost 28 pounds. Ooh. Not in a tournament, just out fun fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was on his way back to the house. He was going to go put it on the trailer because he didn't think the fish were biting. In the wintertime,
and bang,
you got to keep moving until you find them. And once you find them, you're going to knock their lights out most likely.
Give those three or four little quick pointers one more time.
North side, dark rock, wind, shallow water close to deep water.
And shallow water close to deep water, and you're fishing in the deep water?
You're fishing
or in the shallow water.
And I say, and you can fish the deep water. Those fish are less likely to bite. They're out there hanging out. Suspended, maybe, but if you look at them with your electronics and they're suspended under bait, they're going to bite.
Right.
But if they're just suspended out there, more than likely you're going to have to wait till they decide to move up shallow to feed. And that water is going to warm in the afternoon. So that would be the fifth thing. Usually the bite's a little better in the afternoon.
Why was my grandfather waking me up at 5 o'clock in the morning when I was a kid?
In the summertime, you should. Your grandpa was right in the summertime. Yeah,
not in the wintertime.
Right. Okay.
I hate it too. I have to fish tournaments, and I always said, "Why don't we start at noon and fish till dark?"
Right.
Yeah. And then I can have a few drinks at night, sleep in. We're all good.
Right.
I hate getting up early for fishing.
Yeah, the better thing is to get up super early, go fish, then come home and take a nap, and then go back out in the afternoon.
Yeah. A split tournament would be awesome, where I could go get a sandwich and relax for a little bit.
Now, I've never heard
how exhausting fishing is. Bass fishing.
I've never heard anybody describe it. North Shore. The wind. I've never heard any. Do you know everybody that's listening to this show that fish is going, that's never heard those?
Those are the same people that think luck's involved.
No, but now they're figuring out their new favorite spot is going to be, because now I know where to fish on my lake.
I've already had friends of mine that I fish with or against, however you want to put it, that don't like me talking on the
radio show. This is specifically winter.
This is winter.
This is winter.
But those
tips.
Good point.
The wind always applies.
No doubt.
And Lake of the Ozarks and Table Rock type of rock always applies.
Right.
It changes from pea gravel, you know this, to chunk, to boulder.
Yeah.
But that, I call it lava rock. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But the black, dark looking rock.
Yep.
A fine example would be around the Lodge of Four Seasons. Like that island now, and that rock there, that's all really dark.
What about wind? Do you want to be casting into the wind or
always
against the wind?
Into the wind.
Yeah. So you
fish
are
position themselves facing into the wind, right?
Yeah, because it's pushing it, because the wind pushes the bait to them, right? And so
right,
they're letting the wind do the work and push.
Plus it's easier
the food
to control
to
your boat. When
so
you're
you
going
want
into the wind.
You want your bait, your lure, to be coming the same way that the wind is coming.
Oh,
correct?
so trolling kind of recreates that.
Yes.
Trolling kind of like in a river or a creek
setting.
Yeah, letting
it drift in the current.
Wow.
Same
okay. See, I did my first catch and release episode on the Big River in Jeff County.
Oh, cool.
Just a couple months ago, and I had a lot to learn. And I grew up in Minnesota, where we fished when you know. As
I
soon
worked
as
a canoe guide up there in Minnesota, in the Canadian.
Oh no kidding.
Waters, yeah.
Oh yeah, we weren't that far north, but yeah. So there's always something to learn. Proven today.
I've been doing this since I was 12 years old, and I learn something every time I go out. Whether it's right or wrong, what not to do, that's just as important.
Sure.
I've learned more from losses than winning tournaments.
Oh, no doubt.
Because an eight-hour drive home from a lake thinking, man, I was in third place, and, you know, I missed it by this much. What was, you know, little things. You got all that time to think about. Mm-hmm. And why I always say, you got competitive fishing is different in the fact that you don't really realize when you look at the leaderboard – and there's 12 guys at the top. The guy in 10th may have been way closer to winning than the guy in 2nd. He was on the fish. He lost a couple key fish,
mm-hmm.
went left when he should have went right. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy got lucky to be in 2nd. When I said luck has nothing to do with it, but it does to a degree.
Yeah. But
you
he
swing
got
one
big,
in,
he got
the
one
line
big
snaps
hit
on the
yeah
way, and it bounces off the windshield and doesn't go back in the lake. It lands in the bottom of the boat.
Right.
That's good fortune. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But those things always, you know, a lot of people think bass fishermen just sit on a bucket and drown worms, and, you know, it's exhausting. You go out at Lake of the Ozarks and fish 9 hard hours.
Yeah, and that's
it's exhausting.
And for people that are listening, we're mostly talking about bass fishing with all these tips.
All those tips apply pretty much in the wintertime.
Talking
to all fish.
Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, and another question. I do want to get into some, we're not going to talk fishing for the rest of the show. We're going to talk a lot about
this
fishing
because
I love
those guns. And when Aaron talked about it being a SIG dealer,
yeah,
I've got my eye on
the
SIG
too. I do want to get back to some of those stories that we touched on in the first segment. But right now I want to keep this conversation going and ask you, what is the biggest difference in baits or lures from summertime fishing to winter fishing? Like
that's
what are
a bad
you
example because they're kind of similar. Summer,
okay,
summer
then
and
that's
winter
a,
are kind of
question
a,
too.
A kind of the same deal.
Oh, okay.
Minus the sun thing.
Right.
They
and
get
the
deeper
heat.
Close to shore. Yeah. I always say, like, if you want to mark up a map, what you want to do to locate fish, spring and fall are kind of similar, and winter and summer are kind of similar.
That's
they
amazing.
They got to get back to their spawning area, right? And their spawn's coming after the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to make their way to the back.
So I always heard, you know, one of those old wives' tales, you know, that you always hear that I always heard that in cold weather in the winter that you need to fish a lot slower.
Absolutely.
Because the bass, because
absolutely
the fish are moving a
that
lot
slower.
That is
100% slower. True.
So you can't use your crankbaits and move them at full speed, and you can't be running a buzz bait over the top of the water.
No,
because
buzz
that's
bait's
not,
probably not going
to
work.
Yeah, or anything on the top of the water. And you need to instead fish something that just
that is not true. I've seen videos of bass eating frogs through the ice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they will.
Well, that's pretty cool.
But that frog's moving slow, too.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. Right, he's just sitting there. So what are the differences in the way you fish and what you use now?
Speed
as
would be
to
the number one.
Yeah.
And you said no so crankbait. You can use a crankbait.
Well, I said no full speed.
Full speed.
Full speed. You don't want to
you don't want to rip it.
Right.
You don't want to burn it. But flatter sides, so the wobble is tighter versus the one that wobbles hard would be a big difference. Moving it slow, that's why jerkbait is so good in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Because you jerk it down, it sets there and twitches, looks like a dying shad, and you move it a few feet and let it set, and that bass creeps up and looks at it. You move it a little bit, and it creeps up. And then all of a sudden, when you go to jerk it again, it's going. It gives them time to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the summertime, you can just work that jerkbait as fast as you want.
Right.
The Alabama rig is something I'm going to have to learn to throw all over again because I fished the Solo Pro Series, which we didn't allow it.
I was going to say, I just assumed
the
highest level
does
we
not.
Talked about
BFLs
this off
do
the air.
Now,
yeah,
and I'm going to be fishing those. So
we talked about this off the air a couple weeks ago, you and I, and I was shocked to hear that the Alabama rig was still being used in as many tournaments as it is. I just, I guess because I just watch the bass series, Bassmasters, you know, or
the
major
highest
league
level, the stuff that's on TV. No, it's not
and
allowed.
So I just assumed it was banned everywhere except for people, you know, recreational fishing. But no,
the lower level tournaments. There's
quite
a lot of them
still used.
And I don't have a problem with it ethically, morally. It's just a pain in the butt.
It is a pain in the butt. I agree with that. It is a tangled mess. Yeah. I agree with that.
And if you got my old Ranger was a little smaller. You get two guys throwing that, you better put a hockey helmet on. You got two guys throwing something with five.
You
lures.
Know what the Alabama ring is, right?
I don't.
It looks like explain so. It's a it almost looks like a chandelier. There'll be a head where you tie the bait. Five little arms go out.
I've seen
each
this.
Each one of those arms, you put a swivel and a jig head with a minnow mimicking bait.
Yep, I've seen it.
In Missouri, you can only have three hooks, so the top two are generally dummies.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
In Missouri, you can only have three hooks.
Huh.
See, learn something new every day.
One they call a chandelier rig in some states. I think Alabama might be one of them where this thing was invented. There'll be guys that they're throwing a school, man. It's like 10 at the top, 5, then 3, you know.
And what test line are you?
Heavy braid.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not an expert because I purposely, my tournament organization didn't fish it, so I never practiced.
Yeah, but we introduced you as a pro fisherman.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do know how to fish it.
Yeah.
But I opt for the particular brand I use is called a Yum Flash Mob Junior. It's a little smaller. It has a couple small willow blades on
it. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's smaller. And then I put one bigger swim bait in the middle than the rest, and that's mm-hmm. usually the one they target, they go for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I throw it on 25-pound test fluorocarbon, and that way I can roll cast it underhand. I don't heave it long distances. And
I do most of my fishing.
I fish it like a giant
spinnerbait. I don't fish nearly as much in the winter as I do in the spring and summer and fall, and so I'm not usually dealing with really
ice
cold water. Right. And I'm also... I also do a lot of top water, and I do a lot of fishing in shallow water, right by rock beds and things like that. And so I'm always getting the dang. If I'm trying to fish an Alabama rig, I'm always getting it tangled on everything because yes. I'm throwing underneath, you know, canopies that are only 2 feet off the water.
I have yet to catch my first Alabama rig at Lake of the Ozarks. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them broken
off
in there.
So I'm always trying to precision shot the, you know, into these little crevices.
Yeah.
And with an Alabama rig, you can't do that.
That was funny. At the big bass.
I can't do that.
You know, it's all the rage, and a lot of people hear about it, and this is what you got to throw, this is what you got to throw. And in the winter, it can be devastating. It really can.
I would love to throw it through a white bass feeding frenzy.
Yeah, it is cool to catch multiple bass at a time, and that's not uncommon on the Alabama rig. Catch two or three at a time.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
But it was funny at the Big Bass Bash. It's been 3-4 years ago, right, kind of still really, really popular. And, you know, the Big Bass Bash draws out all sorts of people. And there was three guys in a boat throwing it, and they were lobbing that thing from the heavens, crashing it down in a foot and a half of water. I just pulled my trolling motor and said, man, they've scared every fish in this entire...
No, you're kidding.
I am out of here.
Yeah. Let's turn the music up, too.
Yeah. Music doesn't bother them. I that's okay.
Right. All right, we need to take a break, but we've got more to go with Mike Marfell. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Bo Matthews and Chad Ellis and our guest right now, Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman in studio with us. You know, this song reminds me, I was working for a different radio station in the year 2000, the whole Y2K thing, and I was hosting a big party on New Year's Eve going in to the year 2000 and did the big countdown, and then I was on stage with the band and sang that. R.E.M.'s one of my favorite bands, and I actually know all the words. Right. I can actually sing that song. And so I sang that
Please
song
don't.
On stage. I no, but what I'm saying is that whole
Y2K New Millennium, it was 20 years ago.
I know. Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
And the world still hasn't ended.
It didn't end right then either, which everybody said all the computers were going to crash.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just can't believe that, you know, that whole Y2K 20, you know, year
it
2000
is hard to have, wrap your head
was
around.
20 years ago.
You know the old Hank Williams Jr. song, A Country Boy Can't Survive? Oh, well, Chad Brock put out a 2000 version.
Y2K
and yeah, do you remember that?
I do remember
Yeah,
that
was a great version
I don't think I've ever heard
And
that.
Then Hank started doing it live around that time, Hank Jr.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But it's kind of a twist on everything that Hank did, but we're still alive.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check that
out.
Yeah,
I was in elementary school, so I don't know.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear that.
He was a little baby.
Millennials.
Right. So like I said, Mike Marfell is here, professional fisherman. We've been talking a lot of fishing, if you missed anything. And then, of course, we talked about some of the new gun legislation happening in the with the Missouri legislative session starting off. Download the podcast. Radio.com app is free. Best way to get it. And you can stream the station once you favor it, and then you can get our podcast there every week, absolutely free. So if you want to hear this again or you missed anything, go and get that podcast. And while Mike is here, this segment is brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They're a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've got a lot of years' experience. Find them on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270 on the south side, and online at RazorbackArmory.com.
So a lot of great fishing information in that last segment. I love having these discussions, especially in the wintertime when a lot of us aren't getting out as much as we used to. It kind of scratches that itch a little bit, at least, to just talk about fishing and to get those pointers about if you are going to go out in the winter. Mike gave a lot of really good information about how to maximize your fishing
locate,
in the wintertime.
Locate.
Locate.
It's all
there
about
you go.
It's like real estate. Location,
and
location.
If you want more information, you want to learn more from Mike and actually watch him fish, you got a brand new project in the year 2020.
My friend Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, has a YouTube channel where he goes out and does his thing, and he's going to, since situation presented itself, he's going to be my traveling partner to fish to BFLs this year. Everybody brings an amateur with them, so the numbers all work out. And we're going to, 10 Horse Monty's going fiberglass, baby. We're going to do the whole thing, us talking in the hotel, changing flat tires, fixing broken trolling motors, the whole thing. We're going to, you know, he's going to get me hooked up. I got a bunch of GoPros ordered to strap all over the boat. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. He'll have his day as an amateur and my day as pro. Our days is practicing together, that sort of thing. And Gabe does a really good. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. That's why I've never done it. But Gabe's really good at it.
Yeah.
And
so
a lot of the talking in the truck, like breaking it down on the way home. I think we've talked. And the two of us both play a little music, and we're going to try to write a song to
Make
a theme song or something.
Hey,
we'll see how that goes.
Really?
Yeah, I've never written a song, but I've got a whole notebook full of things written down that I want to talk about.
There you go.
I wrote a song one time called Catfight in Church. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you should hear it. It's awesome.
I would like to.
Bo's got that.
But the thing about the show one time, Tony, my wife asked me, and I said, the greatest thing is Tony asked questions. It's kind of like coaching kids or teaching the guitar. People ask you questions. I've been doing it for so long, I don't think about it. But when someone asks me, it makes me think, why do I do that? So I thank you for that.
Oh, that's great.
It's you know what I'm saying?
So as we go into this season, if people want to not only watch you fish, but also watch you talk about fishing and the lessons that you learned that day, where will that be all
It'll be on YouTube. 10 Horse Monty is his channel. 10
Very
Horse
good.
Monty.
Very good.
You know,
I
haven't spent a lot of time watching fishing shows and hunting. I mean, I've seen it. Babe Winkleman, you know the names, right?
Yeah.
We all seen them. But I just put two and two together. The kids love watching other people on YouTube playing video games. I just realized it's kind of the same gene.
It is the same thing.
You watch hunting shows and fishing shows for that same itch as you talked about just a bit ago.
Yeah.
As a kid, I used to watch him in the winter because I didn't think fish bit in the winter.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So
I never did either.
But now I know better.
Yep. Mike, you walked in when we were talking to Aaron a little bit earlier. Just talk about the correlation between, you know, we were talking about these new gun bills that are happening in the state of Missouri. Just talk about the correlation between being a fisherman and, you know, fishermen and hunters and campers, outdoors people. They're kind of all...
We're all the same.
They're all, yeah, they're all... They're,
deer
they're,
hunting
they're
and
all
bass
kin,
fishing are
if
side
you will.
By side.
Yeah.
We all shoot. I take a lot of tactical pistol courses just because I have three boys, and my daughter will eventually start doing it. But, you know, I bought all three of my boys a 9mm for their 13th birthday. I don't send them to school with it. It goes in my safe when they turn 21. We do the paperwork, but we go out and shoot as a family. Like my brother races motorcycles and him and all of his kids. When you're together with your family, spending time, whether it's fishing or shooting, or we do both. Mm-hmm. But my kids, they're way more into the shooting than the fishing.
Yeah. And, you know, this,
going bang is fun for them.
And we say this all the time, especially with guys like Tim Shelsvik or Megan, who are big hunters that are on this show a lot. The vast majority of people that are standing up for Second Amendment rights and going to bat for these laws that we were talking about earlier in the show that either defend or expand your Second Amendment rights are not people that just want a gun because they like to go out and shoot at stuff. They are also the people that are keeping the parks clean, keeping the waters clean, doing things like looking after the deer population and the elk population and making sure that everything out there is healthy mm-hmm. and happy. I think that some people that don't understand that lifestyle think that, oh, if you want a gun, it's just because you want to go kill something.
Right.
That's not the
right.
It's not
even close.
The lifestyle.
Plus, I hate to say this, but us gun people actually know stuff about guns.
Right.
Most of the people that are anti-gun don't know a clip from a magazine, from a bullet, from a round, you know, Joe Biden with his 20-clip magazines and, you know, it's that sort of thing. It's like, my grandpa taught me about guns from the time I was a little kid. I got a shotgun for my 9th birthday. You know, it's like, and I still have that shotgun.
Right. That's awesome.
You know how to handle it.
I have my grandpa's shotgun,
too. Respect it.
Absolutely. We're almost out of time, Bo. You want to sing Catfish Blues? What is it called?
Catfight
in Church?
Catfight in Church. Yeah. There was another one.
You want to sing us?
I'm not going to do that. No. I just wrote it. Singers take care of the rest of it. There was another song I wrote called You Didn't Do Enough for My Birthday. So that's also going to be on my greatest hits.
That is awesome. The next Ray Stevens.
We have got to get our hands on that, Chad, and play the Bo Matthews greatest hits.
I'll bring my washboard and jug in, and me and Chad will be the band.
Yeah. 10 Words Monty on YouTube. Anywhere else to follow you, or is that the best way to do it?
Yeah, that's the best way. I just spout off silly stuff on Facebook every night.
I love it. Mike Marfell, thank you so much
for
your time.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks, Bo.
We'll talk to you again real soon. That's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Like I said, download the podcast on the radio.com app if you missed anything. And make sure you check back with us next week. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.